This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. It was in October of 2012 that a Texas DPS helicopter joined in a hot pursuit in the Rio Grande Valley. Troopers thought a pickup truck they were chasing was loaded with bales of marijuana. To end the chase, a sniper in a helicopter fired on the tires in the truck. Here's the radio communication.
There's two in there. Okay, there's two occupants continuing southbound on El Pinto, southbound on El Pinto.
I don't believe he's going to stop, Johnny, do you?
We're
going to
be coming in.
Do you think you can get a tire?
Yeah, there's going to be a school coming up if we get on pavement.
Okay, we're going to be approaching a school. We're going to try to shoot one of the tires out. We have a clear spot. Highway Patrol, maintain your distance. We're going to call the ball. Copy.
All right, clear hot. Ready to go?
Clear hot.
We're trying to get the back with Mike.
Keep
copy. Shots fired. Clear hot. Give again, Mike. 108 is shots fired. Give us some room. Highway Patrol, we're about to hit the pavement. Stand by. Hey, cease fire.
The truck wasn't carrying drugs, but people hiding under a tarp. The DPS sharpshooter ended up hitting and killing two immigrants who had crossed the border illegally. The Texas legislature refused to hold hearings about the incident, and there was no public investigation. Now, the Texas Observer has released the most comprehensive examination of the shooting. Melissa Del Bosque is a staff reporter for the Observer and was recently recognized with a National Magazine Award for her reporting on the border.
So it was quite a shocking incident because I've been reporting on the Texas border since before 2000. And I was not aware that DPS had this policy where they were shooting out the tires of cars during high-speed pursuits along the border. And I don't think many of elected officials along the border knew they were doing it either.
I remember covering this myself and talking to law enforcement officials around the country, and they were also taken aback by that this was a policy. This is an uncommon procedure.
Right. I mean, we found out that Texas was the only state, with law enforcement that were doing this, shooting at cars from helicopters, trying to shoot out the tires. This was part of a very aggressive drug interdiction strategy that they were trying along the border. And, I talked to an expert in police pursuits, and he said, this is really dangerous what they were doing. And so, we saw this sort of reckless policy end in this tragedy.
We must make it clear that since this incident that the DPS has no longer, they're no longer doing this.
Yeah, and that's important to point out is that they did institute a lethal force policy from helicopters after that happened, after the death. They don't shoot at tires anymore as part of an interdiction strategy, during high-speed pursuits. So they're not doing that anymore. So the point of the piece that I did was to take more of a look at the victims of the shooting and to also ask the question, we've changed so much in the last 10 years with regards to border security and our law enforcement on the border. DPS has become much more militarized.
The reaction of the people who live in the Rio Grande Valley right after this shooting was they were stunned. I remember speaking to activists down there. They were saying that people were afraid to drive their trucks around, not knowing if they would be fired on as well.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like average American communities, if this had happened in Houston or it had happened in Austin, I think it would have been a much bigger deal. There would have been a much larger reaction to it. But there seems to be the sense that because it's along the border, that somehow the rhetoric has made it seem that it's such a out of control war zone kind of place that these kind of tactics are somehow acceptable. When the reality of any border resident will tell you, it's just a normal American community like any other. It's not a place where you should have people shooting from helicopters.
So the reporting that you have on the website, TexasObserver.org, we do see the video from the helicopter, and it makes it clear that there is no way that the pilot of the chopper or the marksman had any idea that there was that there were people under the tarp. That's clear, right? There's no dispute.
Right, right. Yeah, I think that's pretty clear from the video that they thought that the truck was carrying drugs.
But there was no real investigation afterwards. Sid Miller, the state representative at the time, now the agriculture commissioner, was able to say, we don't need an investigation, was able to put a halt to that.
You know, at the time, he was the head of Homeland Security Committee in the House. And my question was about the oversight from the legislature. How much are they really looking into DPS's policies in border communities in terms of use of force and things like that? It seems to me that there's not a lot of oversight in that direction. There's a lot of concern that they have money. I mean, we're now considering almost $1 billion for DPS in the next 2 years, but there doesn't seem to be much debate or much concern about what they do with that money once they get it and how they operate in border communities. And there doesn't seem to be much, border communities don't seem to get much input into how law enforcement acts in their communities.
The people who live on the border in the Rio Grande Valley, they are having to deal with the impact of this. This is going to be an imposition on them somehow.
Mm-hmm.
How's that?
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, they're talking about building some like a 10-acre Ford operation base. That's an idea that Congressman Mike McCaul has, that he wants to build these operating bases along the border like they have in Afghanistan. Which is like, where are you going to put that in McAllen? Are you going to put it next to the La Plaza Mall, or additional military hardware? DPS has gotten a lot of equipment from the military, from overseas, from the wars overseas. They've got a Huey helicopter. They've got MRAPs. You know, they've got M16s and the armored gunboats on the Rio Grande. So it's a question of how much of this do we really need?
When you live on the border, we've seen judicial rulings saying that it's a constitution-free zone. I mean, you lose certain freedoms when you're that close to the border, and there's concerns that there will be a continued erosion of those freedoms and abuses by law enforcement as they continue to think that this is a war zone.
Right. I mean, the best, most effective kind of policing, in my opinion, is community policing. If you have the community on your side, you're going to find out where the bad guys are. You're going to be able to tackle corruption, which corruption really is the border security threat. And in my story, Senator Hinojosa's from McAllen says that, you know, he's like, we don't need necessarily more DPS troopers. We need Texas Rangers who are criminal investigators to root out corrupt officials. Unfortunately, it seems like border communities don't get to have much input, that, you know, most of the border security policies are made by people who live in the northern part of the state or in Washington, D.C., who don't live in these communities.
Melissa Del Bosque is a staff writer for the Texas Observer. She wrote Death on 7 Mile Road, which examines the DPS helicopter double fatal shooting of two unauthorized border crossers.